Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck.
I'm Joel Meyer, Soundcheck's executive producer, here in the Soundcheck studio. John Schaefer is away this week, but today we're going to hear some of John's recent conversations done from this very chair that I'm sitting in. Coming up, John talks with René Pérez-Hoglar, a.k.a. Residente, the co-founder of the Puerto Rican band Calle Trece. The group's latest album features a guest appearance from WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. Here's Residente talking about what it's like working with a guy who's living in exile at the Ecuadorian embassy in London.
You can see in his eyes, like, he wanted to be free and go out, but he's there.
We live in the world that your propaganda made. But where you think you are strong, you are weak. Your lies tell us the truth we will use against you. Your secrecy shows us where we will strike.
Plus, R&B singer Liv Warfield. She's a member of Prince's backing band, The New Power Generation. Prince also executive produced her new album, called The Unexpected. We'll hear some of it live. But first, the husband and wife duo behind a new music blog that's generated a fair amount of controversy online, thanks in part to one gigantic record collection. Here's John Schaefer.
Back in February, a New York librarian named Sarah Ohala set out on a mission. Listen to each album in her husband's vinyl record collection, all 1,500 of them. Now, she set a few rules for herself. Sarah had to listen to the albums in alphabetical order. She had to listen to the entire album, no matter what. And then she had to write about the music and the cover art on a new blog. The result is a Tumblr site called My Husband's Stupid Record Collection, and it has raised more than a few eyebrows online. It brings Sarah Ohala to our Soundcheck studio. Hey, Sarah.
Hi.
And also joining us is Sarah's husband, Alex Goldman, who has not traveled far because Alex is a producer on the WNYC show On the Media and co-hosts the TLDR podcast. Hi, Alex.
Hi, John.
So, Sarah, your first post on February 22nd of this year, let's see how far I can go. So, how far have you gotten so far?
I'm a little into the Bees. I just did a Beatles album.
Mm-hmm. And how often do you do this?
I try to do it every day. It takes a couple of hours, so I don't always have time, but
right.
I try to do one every day.
So, 1,500 albums at an album a day, you're looking at what? Like close to
couple
four
years.
Or 5 years?
Yeah.
All right. So you are committed to this.
You know, yeah. It's still feels very fun. So I guess if it starts feeling like a chore, maybe it won't be an album a day anymore.
Right,
but
right.
I look forward to it, and it's been going strong for a couple months.
So. What made you want to do this in the first place?
Curiosity, I think. Boredom. It was winter. And, you know, we had just moved to a house in New Jersey from Brooklyn. So, you know, we had just moved the record collection once again and all of the boxes. And
now, Alex, is this where the title of the blog comes from? My husband's stupid record collection?
I mean, I think it's a bit tongue in cheek, but definitely the record collection is least appealing to her and to me when we have to move.
Yeah.
So
1,500 LPs, that's a lot of milk crates.
We still have about five boxes still packed in the basement that
right.
I haven't gotten to yet.
Have you listened to all 1,500?
Pretty much. I would say that there are a few that have been gifted to me or that I picked up solely because they were, you know, 50 cent bin cover with weird cover art that I filed away and never really listened to. Like, I think I have a DeBarge record I haven't listened to all of yet, but we will once we get to it. Sarah's going to listen to it anyway.
Okay. All right. That's in the D's, though. So that's still a couple of months away, perhaps. Let's talk, Sarah, about some of the things that you have already heard. And I want to get to some of the reaction that you've gotten for the Tumblr site. But music from a couple of albums you've recently reviewed. The first is an album that you liked. Tell me about discovering Syd Barrett?
Well, when I pulled the album out, I knew who Syd Barrett was. I knew he was in Pink Floyd, and I knew a little bit about the fact that he had sort of gone crazy or he had a mental illness, and I didn't know much more about that, but I knew that there was sort of a sad history with Syd Barrett.
Right.
You know, I had The Wall and Dark Side of the Moon when I was in high school and loved them, but I didn't...
Later albums that are about Syd Barrett, sort of.
Yeah, you know. So and that's why I knew about him a little bit, but I never had one of his albums. So, yeah, right away, it gave me that feeling that is pretty rare with music, where I felt like a very strong connection with it right away. And, you know, there's been other albums of Alex's that I like the music, but it doesn't make me feel, you know, just like an emotional connection. Yeah. And this, right away, first couple of notes, I knew I was going to love it.
The artist is Syd Barrett, founder of Pink Floyd, and from the album called Simply Barrett from 1970, this song is called Gigolo Ant.
Moving around in a trench coat with the satin on trail. Seems to be all around it, din and then pale, pale. Driving on down to the beach to see the blue and the grey. Seems to be all on its rosy, it's a beautiful day. Will you please keep on the track? I almost want you back. 'Cause I know what you are. You are a gigolo, aren't you? You're the gigolo.
Syd Barrett, the late Syd Barrett, and the song Gigolo Ant from the album Barrett. In 1970, he really said it was his second and final solo album before really completely disappearing from the music scene. And Sarah O'Hala really liked this one on the blog My Husband's Stupid Record Collection. Sarah is listening to each of her husband Alex's 1,500 LPs. So you liked that one, but it hasn't been all Barrett and Beatles. There have been records that you weren't so crazy about.
Yeah, only one really that I had a very visceral reaction to hating, I guess you could say.
And what one was that?
That was Albert Eiler's Spirits Rejoice.
So free jazz from the early 60s, not working for you.
Yeah, you know, I've heard free jazz before, obviously, and but I don't think I'd ever taken the time to sit down and listen to an album of just that kind of music all the way through. And that's when it really started to feel hard to listen to, and I just wanted to turn it off. It was hard not to break one of my ground rules,
which was to listen to the whole thing no matter what. In the blog, Sarah writes, sounds like Soundcheck, the band soundchecking, not this show, but if the band was really angry or something. I'd be really angry if I was in a band and this was the kind of music we had to play. Bit of music from Albert Eiler, the great jazz sax player, very prominent on the free jazz scene in the 60s. This album, Spirits Rejoice, is from 65. That's called DC. Sarah O'Hala just not buying it.
It feels like, it kind of felt like someone was just poking me over and over again, you know, with that same
Now, Alex, you
note.
Bought this at some point. You were into this music.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, now, Alex, you work for On the Media.
Right.
So when the media started to pick up on Sarah's blog on My Husband's Stupid Record Collection. Were you surprised?
Absolutely. We started it as just sort of a fun project between the two of us and imagined that it would be our friends reading it. And I remember one afternoon we went to visit a friend of ours. We went over to a friend's house, and my phone was just buzzing over and over and over again because the followers count just kept flying up. Mm-hmm. It was just sort of precipitous climb all of a sudden. And it was so informal. We were so not prepared for it. It's not as though we installed analytics on the site so that we knew where the traffic came from. We don't really have any idea how it became so big. It's just all of a sudden it took hold and people started following it.
Now and the reaction has been both positive and negative. New York Magazine, you guys made it onto New York Magazine's approval matrix. Lowbrow and brilliant.
My favorite quadrant.
That's where you want to be. But then on the other side, you had a lot of people sort of complaining, Sarah, that by you sort of going through your husband's record collection, that you were sort of reinforcing a lot of gender stereotypes, especially within the music community. Mm-hmm. Did you guys think of that at all when you were starting this?
Nope. It's his collection, and that's where the word husband comes in. The word stupid was definitely put in there tongue-in-cheek right away, and really not much thought given to it. I thought it sounded funny.
Yeah.
But I think some people were focusing on both of those words just in the title before even reading.
Before reading what you had written.
What I had written.
Reviews. Mm-hmm. All right. It's called My Husband's Stupid Record Collection, Sarah Ohala going through all of Alex Goldman's 1,500 LPs. Annie Zaleski, not impressed, tweets, it just reinforces the stereotype that women can't be discerning music fans in the same way men are. It's insulting and demeaning. Headline from FlavorWire, the uncomfortable gender politics of My Husband's Stupid Record Collection. The author Judy Berman writes, the problem as I see it isn't just that this project reinforces the assumption that women don't know as much about music as the men in their lives. It also perpetuates the more general 70s Woody Allen-worthy idea that heterosexual relationships revolve around men educating women. What do you make of that?
Well, I just wanted to learn something new. I don't think Alex was really educating me. I was learning something new on my own. I was using this collection that was in my house to my advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that there isn't one way to write about music. So I started the blog thinking, I actually hesitated after I had the initial idea. I hesitated to write the first post because I thought, I don't know how to write about music.
Right.
I've never tried to. In my very first post, I don't say I'm trying to be a music journalist here. I basically say the complete opposite. But I decided, you know, I love to write. So let me just write in the way that I enjoy and see what happens. And I think that's what people connected with. And it's not your typical way to write about music. It's not a way that most men write about music.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's where the gender things come in. But
well, now it's,
I'm just being myself.
NPR Music's Ann Powers takes a more nuanced approach to the project. She writes, it is complicated. Deflating the aura of expertise can be useful, but only to mm-hmm. a point. Knowledge, she writes, knowledge is power. And it sounds like what you were doing was not, hey, now my husband's educating me on music, but hey, my husband has this library of stuff and I'm going to go in there and see what I can find.
Yeah, well, I've only done a little over 30 reviews, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how I sound 500 reviews in. I mean,
you'll be just as jaded as the rest.
Exactly.
So, I mean, did you at some point when this started happening, and as Alex said, you guys, you know, you thought this was just going to be friends and family reading it, and suddenly the media is glomming on and there's like a battle royale going on the internet over this. Was there anything in those criticisms that made you kind of maybe reconsider a little bit or think, there's a point there that I want to follow up on?
Yeah, I definitely think there's a point. I think that the way I'm writing about music is a way that can be written about music, but I also think that women, especially women who want to write about music, and women in the music industry are put under this higher level of scrutiny that really is not fair. And let's talk about that. You know, I love talking about gender. And so my blog has sort of brought that conversation up. I don't think that I need to stop what I'm doing, that what I'm doing is hurting these women, but people are bringing up a bigger conversation about gender and music. And I think it's important. And it's actually exciting that I feel like my blog went from being more of like a silly little project to kill time and have fun with to a bigger conversation that I'm happy to be a part of.
Yeah. You've gotten up to the Beatles. So let's move your process forward a step here. We're going to play something that is from Alex's record collection that's like another album or two down the road. Take a listen to Big Black.
Live here my whole life. There's kerosene around. Something to do.
That is Kerosene from the album Atomizer by the band Big Black from 1986. This is not the whole album. It's not even the whole song, Sarah, but initial reaction?
Well, the lyrics, I definitely was focusing on the lyrics right away. And before the vocals even came in, I had this prediction that I almost thought, is this going to be rap? And then it wasn't, but the lyrics were actually had a talk, it was more like talking poetry feel to them. So similar to rap a little bit. And I liked the angstiness of, I could picture like teenagers being mad about their small town.
Man. If you like the angst in that song, wait till you get to the rest of the record or even the rest of that song. Big Black was Steve Albini, the singer and guitarist who would famously go on to produce Nirvana and so much more.
Okay.
So that was his kind of punk, post-punk band from the 80s. Mm-hmm. Alex?
Well, Sarah's heard me talk about Steve Albini quite a bit before. So the short version of it is Nirvana did a single with the Jesus Lizard, which was produced by Steve Albini, and that became my entree into indie rock, basically. So Nirvana did this Jesus Lizard single. I heard it, and then I got the Touch and Go Records catalog, and that's how I learned
about it. That's the record company that the Jesus Lizard was on.
The Jesus Lizard and Big Black and
right.
Steve Albini's bands. And that's sort of how I learned about – that was a big, big step in learning about music for me.
Right.
So this album, even though I haven't listened to it in a decade, is a landmark in that way.
Yeah. And for you, Sarah, I mean, you know, Alex is talking about, you know, a big step. This is a 1,500 album step that you're taking with my husband's stupid record collection. So you got 1,470 to go.
Yep.
Well, I have a sneaking suspicion that we'll be seeing the two of you back here at some point later on Soundcheck. But Sarah Ohala is the writer, librarian, and author of the Tumblr site My Husband's Stupid Record Collection. Alex Goldman is Sarah's husband and the owner of said stupid record collection and a producer on the WNYC program On the Media. Guys, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Up next on Soundcheck, John Schaefer talks with R&B singer Liv Warfield about working with Prince on her new album. Plus, she'll perform in our studio. That's up next. This is Soundcheck.
Her skin like butter shea.
dressed like a queen of the 18th century. Piercing eyes like diamonds.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. A few years ago, the singer and songwriter Liv Warfield was considering leaving the music world, but then she got the call from Prince. Since then, she's been singing with Prince's legendary backing band, the New Power Generation, and when she started working on her latest album, Prince signed on as executive producer. The album is called The Unexpected, and Liv Warfield is here in our Soundcheck studio, along with guitarist Ryan Waters, to play some music from that album. This first song is called Catch Me If You Can. It's Liv Warfield live on Soundcheck.
Catch me if you can, I'm out of here. We in love, please don't stop us now, we out of here. Oh, what's the plan? What we gonna do? Save the world, honey, let's get them parachutes gone. Got $30 to our names, we'll survive. Mama taught me well, I won't complain, no.
Liv Warfield, live on Soundcheck, and a song called Catch Me If You Can, which she wrote for her album called The Unexpected. And we also heard Ryan Waters accompanying on guitar. Now, Liv, you know, you have sung with Prince and the New Power Generation,
yeah,
you know, in the band mm-hmm. for a number of years now. What's it yeah. like suddenly being out of the band and in front of those same people?
It's actually a beautiful experience. Like, I've learned so much from him as being he's such an amazing mentor, you know. I've learned the writing and arranging and definitely the performing. I mean, being on stage with him, his light is so huge and you can't help but to like attach onto that, you know. He's just amazing. And so he's just kind of taught me to take chances and be fearless with it. Definitely.
It's interesting that you mentioned the performance part of it mm-hmm. because, of course, you know, when Prince puts on a show, it's a show.
It's
not just singing. There's dancing and choreography.
Yeah.
And you seem to have adopted a lot of those kind of moves, you know, when you're – I mean, we've seen you doing all the late-night talk shows,
yeah.
Letterman and Fallon and
mm-hmm.
Arsenio. And
yeah.
everybody's got choreography. And
yeah.
there's, you know
yeah. –
you're grabbing a $20 bill out of the head of somebody's hand.
Yes, yes, be gay.
So, I mean, do you have that in your background, dancing, choreography, that sort of thing?
See, I was a gymnast first for 14, 15 years. Like, I thought I was going to Olympics. But some of that may have, you know, there's a little bit of influence of that in there.
Yeah.
But I think really Prince helped us step it up. Like, he really kind of...
shined a light on the performance aspect, because I wanted it to be, of course, we wanted to be about the live music, but to also, you know, let's try to paint this picture visually mm-hmm. of what the lyrics mean to this. So it's kind of a really cool thing to watch.
Couple of things about gymnastics, though. Stamina. So yeah. You've got the wind.
Yeah.
And you can get
yes,
through.
Absolutely.
The other thing is we think of gymnasts as like, you know, 4'10" or
oh,
so.
Oh, yeah.
Is
yeah.
that why you had to give it up when you started to grow?
No, I did not have to. I started to get hurt a lot. Well, I got hurt one time and I was like, this is it for me. I was actually quite good. I trained with Bella Caroli. Like,
wow.
It was serious. And then after that, I
Bella
was
Caroli,
like...
Bella Caroli, who, you know, from Romania.
Oh, yeah. In Houston. I was in Texas. And then I started to run track. And I went on to the next athletic thing for me. And I was a heptathlete for years. And then singing, though, was something I kept hidden from everybody. So I knew I could sing with all of that, all of this stuff going around athletics, but I really wanted to sing. I really wanted to be a performer, and I kept it hidden. And then when I went to Portland State on a track scholarship, I was like, let's try this singing thing. I'm away from home. Let's do it, you know?
Yeah.
So it was an amazing journey. Like, Portland really embraced that part of me and that side, and they really showed me a lot.
Is that why your first album was called Embrace Me?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And then at some point, you know, there comes this moment where it just doesn't seem to be happening the way you want. And out of nowhere, this purple figure, like, descends from the sky. And how did you meet Prince?
Well, he was looking for a singer at the time. And a friend of mine, he had said, well, you know, you have your YouTube video out there that you did in Portland, and I did Gimme Shelter, and I was like, yeah, right, I'm not, you know, if you send it, don't tell me, because I know that's like,
yeah,
it's never gonna happen. And then like 3 or 4 months later, I got a call for me to come to Paisley, and
which is Prince's studio. Yeah,
crazy. I tell people the first experience, I relate that to like a Spike Lee movie, kind of walking down the hall, everything is moving but me. It's really quite crazy. I think about it now, because I had to remove myself as like a fan. Like, I can't believe I'm here at Paisley Park. So
Liv Warfield is with us on Soundcheck today. Her album is called The Unexpected. Prince executive produced it, wrote one or two songs?
Two
songs?
He wrote The Unexpected, and we co-wrote Your Show on the album.
Okay.
Yep.
For our session today, it's just Ryan Waters accompanying on guitar, but you can watch Liv on The Letterman Show and on Fallon and on Arsenio. All of those videos are circulating on YouTube with the new Power Generation. They are incredible performances. Let's hear one right now, a stripped-down set from Liv Warfield. The title track, The Unexpected, was written for Liv Warfield by Prince. And here's a live version of that with Ryan Waters on guitar. It's Liv Warfield live on Soundcheck.
What came over me? cycle of the moon affects the motions of the sea. What you did, it's starting all over again. We both wanted more than we did back then. See, like a bee to some honey. Out of control. See, I'm so much better. Yes, I said something about the wild in me. It's never tame. I think we're both alike, and this is how we became like a bee to some honey.
Oh, man. That is nice. Oh. Liv Warfield, live on Soundcheck. And the title track from her album, The Unexpected, song written for her by Prince, sung by Liv Warfield live here in the Soundcheck studio, Ryan Waters on guitar. The Unexpected is out now. And so Prince finds you through a YouTube video. Mm-hmm. And recently, Cyndi Lauper has said via Twitter that crazy. She wants to work with.
That's crazy.
So all this stuff is happening. It's like,
oh,
do people not call each other up anymore? Oh. It's like everything's done.
It's
remotely.
Oh man, it's quite amazing. Like, I'm thankful to her. You know, we got to see Kinky Boots, which was on Broadway. Thank you for her for letting us see that. Like, it's just been a beautiful journey. Like, I'm loving the steps. I'm loving. Just the artistry of it, just being the artist and going through it, you know? And, you know, I was a part of the whole process of recording this album, writing the songs,
right.
Ryan writing Blackbird on the album. It's been a very much a collective effort with the band.
Yeah.
So I'm super thankful for that.
Has Paul McCartney said anything about...
Not yet.
Because the song Blackbird begins with the memorable line that
yes,
Paul McCartney got it wrong.
Yes. Yes, it does. It does.
A little cheeky thing to say there, but yeah. It's your record.
Yeah, it's powerful. It's very powerful.
So the album's called The Unexpected. It is out now.
Yes.
And Liv Warfield, it has been an unexpected pleasure to have you and Ryan performing so ably. Just the two of you here in the studio. It sounded great.
Oh,
thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Hey everyone, Joel Meyer here, Soundcheck's executive producer. John Schaefer's out this week, but we're listening to some of his recent conversations done from here in the studio. But before we go any further, I want to tell you about something we're doing this week on the show as part of WNYC's ongoing Sleep Project. Soundcheck is building the most relaxing playlist ever. Yes, ever. And we plan to do it by this Thursday. It's pretty ambitious, but folks, you've got to set goals. So we're going to need your help. We want you to pick a song for the most relaxing playlist ever, and then post it on soundcheck.org, tweet us at soundcheck, or call us at 866-939-1612. That's 866-939-1612. Here are a few of the suggestions we've received from you folks so far. Now, if you're driving or operating machinery, fair warning, this stuff is relaxing. Like this from Julia in South Carolina. She tweeted, "My most relaxing song is Green Arrow by Yola Tango. It's instrumental and packed with cricket noises, like camping under the stars." Music from Yola Tango, that's the song Green Arrow from the album I Can Hear the Heart Beating as One. We also heard from Kate in New York, who tweeted, "Reckless Burning by Jesse Sykes. We've played it every night since our son was 4 months old to say goodnight. He's now 9. Reckless Burning by Jesse Sykes, suggested by Kate in New York, whose son knows that song very, very well. He's been hearing it, for about the past 8.5 years. Let's see, here's another suggestion, this one from soundcheck.org. This is Chris from San Diego, who writes, "345 No Sleep by The Cardigans really puts me in a state of pure relaxation. Nina Persson's lullaby-like voice and the sparse, warm arrangement acts like a salve to relieve all of the problems of the world. It's lovely."
It's way too late to think of someone I would call now. The neon signs got tired, red-eye flights held the stars out. I'm safe in a corner, just hours before me.
That's 345 No Sleep by the Swedish band The Cardigans. You can tell us which song you think we should add to our most relaxing playlist ever by leaving a comment at soundcheck.org or call us up at 866-939-1612 to leave a voicemail. That's 866-939-1612. Here's one more from Horatio, who writes, "Hands down, Poinciana by jazz pianist Ahmad Jamal." Ahmad Jamal and the track Poinciana, suggested by our listener Horatio for our most relaxing playlist ever. Up next on Soundcheck, John Schaefer talks with Calle Tracy co-founder Residente about the group's last album called Multiviral. This is Soundcheck.
Por lo que fue y por lo que pudo ser, por lo que hay, por lo que puede faltar, por lo que...
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The Puerto Rican duo Calle Trece first gained notoriety as X-rated jokesters with a talent for cranking out catchy club hits. But over the years, the group's lyrics have ventured deeper into political and social commentary. Earlier this month, the band, Calle 13, released a new video for one of those songs called Eleguante. It's from their latest album, Multiviral. The title Eleguante translates to tolerance or endurance in English. And joining me today to talk about that song and the new album is René Pérez-Joglar, also known as Residente, one of Calle 13's two co-founders. Residente, it's been a very long time. Welcome back to Soundcheck.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
So you and your stepbrother Eduardo, who is Visitante, you guys are the core of Calle 13. And this new song called Eleguante, it's a list of grievances, of dictators, of wars and things like that. What was the point of this song?
My brother had the idea of doing something like Irish rhythm,
right,
from there. And I have a lot of Irish friends, and I know that they can resist drinking. Like, they drink a lot and they're like, okay. And I know it sounds like a cliche, but for me, it's real. Like, I have those friends. And I thought about writing something about resistance, like how human beings resist historically, from wars to simple things like, I don't know, the smoke of a cigarette. Or
secondhand smoke, yeah.
Yeah.
So all the things, both big and small, that we have to endure.
Yeah.
Did the Irish musical idea, did that come first?
Yeah. Yeah, it was first. And it was very traditional, the first track that my brother sent me. And I liked it, but I started writing it. And it was another thing, completely different, like with elephants and stuff. You know, it was different. So, and
but you can still hear that Irish, the tin whistle, and, you know, that kind of tradition, the echoes of that traditional Irish sound in the song. Let's hear a little bit from the band Calle 13. The song is called Eleguante.
Nacimos para aguantar lo que el cuerpo sostiene. Aguantamos lo que vino y aguantamos lo que viene. Aguantamos aunque tengamos los segundos contados. Nuestro cuerpo aguanta hasta 15 minutos ahorcado. Aguantamos latigazos que nos corten los dos brazos. Fracturas en cualquier hueso, 3 semanas con un yeso. Aguantamos todo el tiempo las ganas de ir al baño pa' ver el cometa Halley. Hay que aguantar 70 años. Aguantamos la escuela, la facultad, el instituto, a la hora de cenar, nos aguantamos los erutos, el pueblo de Burundi sigue aguantando la hambruna, aguantamos 3 días para llegar a la luna, aguantamos el frío del Ártico, el calor del trópico, aguantamos con anticuerpos los virus microscópicos, aguantamos las tormentas, huracanes, el mal clima, aguantamos Nagasaki, aguantamos Hiroshima, aunque no queramos, aguantamos nuevas leyes, aguantamos.
The band is Calle 13, and the song is Eleguante. The video is on our website at soundcheck.org. Check it out. René Pérez-Joglar, a.k.a. Residente, co-founder of the Puerto Rican band Calle 13, with this song about all the things we have to endure, from genocides and dictators. In the video, there's a woman who's a very kind of strong figure, so it seems like women's rights are part of this,
yeah,
as well. Down to the little day-to-day annoyances of life. René, you and your brother, Eduardo, are from Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Do you have, I mean, what are the specific things that you have to endure that might be different from what we have on the mainland?
well, we are a colony, so.
A colony.
Since we were born, we just grew up with that, like, we don't have a president, or, yeah, we have a president, but we can't vote for the president. So it's like Obama is our president, but we didn't vote for him. Like, so
is the solution for Puerto Rico to gain statehood or to gain independence?
One or the other. I'm pro-independent because I want to be like you guys with, you know, with freedom and one flag, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And because I know that it's better in terms of business wise. Like, it's like us. Like, for me, being independent in music, it's way better.
Well, now you guys have this new record, Multiviral. You're doing that on your own label, your independent label.
Yeah, We're still working like in distribution with some people in Sony, but we own our material. That's why I'm independent. Mm-hmm. Like, you can be the most indie artist with the most indie label, but if you don't own your work, you're not independent.
Right.
That's the difference. So we own our things.
Is that new? Do you own your prior records?
No. Yeah, I'm not. I don't own my masters. Not even Latin America. That it's one of the biggest songs. I'm the writer. Mm-hmm. I own that, but not the master. And now we own that. And if we you want to use it, we can rent it.
Right.
But it's ours.
I also like that you told a group of college kids, of students in Mexico, that if you don't have money, download it illegally. That's okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's illegal the way you, like, if you buy something and you give it to someone else. If I buy an album and I give it to a friend, that's not illegal. I use the word pirateria, piracy, but at least in Puerto Rico means that you just can download and give it to a friend, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Well, the band Calle 13 with, I think it's 19 Latin Grammys now that you guys have won. So
yeah.
this is a big move to go independent like this. You start the album with words from Eduardo Galeano, the great Uruguayan writer. Why did you choose him?
He's a great writer. Like, I'm a fan of his work. I have ADD, and I'm indigo too, so...
I'm sorry, ADD and indigo, did you say?
Yeah, when I was a kid, like, you know what is indigo?
No, I know the color.
It's like an ADD, super ADD.
Oh.
But it has cool things too, but it's complicated to explain.
Okay.
But I was like that when I was a kid too. So I when I read, you know, sometimes I have problems concentrating, but with Galeano, because he has a lot of short stories,
mm-hmm.
I can maintain reading. And also the way he writes, it's very simple and complicated. It's not pretentious. It's great. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult to do that, and I like it. So that's why he's here, he's there, and because I met him, and he's a super great guy, like, he's super humble and super intelligent and everything. And so I call him, like, I need you here. And and I wanted to have writers, actors, and different kind of artists in the album. So.
Well, and as we'll get to in a little while, there are some other notable names on the record. The album's called Multiviral, from the Puerto Rican band Calle 13. René Pérez Joglar is with me on soundcheck. He is the vocalist in the band, but not on this track. You'll hear the Uruguayan writer Eduardo Galeano in a song called El Viaje.
Oriol Val, que se ocupa de los recién nacidos en un hospital de Barcelona, dice que el primer gesto humano es el abrazo. Después de salir al mundo, al principio de sus días, los bebés manotean como buscando a alguien. Otros médicos que se ocupan de los ya vividos dicen que los viejos al fin de sus días mueren queriendo alzar los brazos. Y así es la cosa.
So that is the voice of the Uruguayan writer Eduardo Galeano. Once again, René Pérez Joglar, a.k.a. Residente, co-founder of the Puerto Rican band Calle 13. That is a very different sound for you guys. Yeah. What is Galeano talking about there in this song, The Trip, El Viaje?
He's talking about the beginning of life and how we move physically, like our bodies, when we are born,
mm-hmm.
the first move. And
the beginning of the journey.
Yeah. And it's because the next song is about life. It's La Vida Respira el Momento.
Pongamos nombre propio nuestro espíritu. No lo pueden ver los los microscopios. Nadie se puede acobardar. Nacimos siendo valientes, porque respirar es arriesgar. Este es el momento de agarrar el impulso. Las emociones las narra nuestro pulso.
Now we're getting with these songs about, you know, the beginning of life and the journey of life. We're getting a little window into your personal life, right? You're about to become a dad.
Yeah. So I don't know if it was like the future, because I wrote this song before, but I just wanted to, I wanted to do something like Latin America, but about life, like something very descriptive and yeah, it's like a narrative from the beginning of life till the end, but without being corny or with, you know, and it's simple to, like, everyone can understand what I'm saying, you know.
Yeah. There is a large potential American audience for this, but you do stick to Spanish. Are you uncomfortable writing and rapping in English?
Yeah, like, I'm, like, right now I want to do a project in English, like my project, like not a Calle 13 thing, because I don't want to mix it, because it's very, we are protecting the brand.
Right.
You know, like if we start with Calle 13 doing things, making English lyrics, like some of the Latin American people, they're not going to understand, and it's a different concept, you know.
Okay.
But I don't feel that comfortable either, like writing in English, but I'm trying, I'm doing it. And I think maybe I can do it for this year. I can have a few songs.
Well, in the meantime, back to Calle 13 and this latest record called Multiviral or Multiviral. Julian Assange is on the title track, the founder of WikiLeaks. How did that happen? Did you go to the embassy in London where he's stuck, basically?
Yeah. I went there. I called the government of Ecuador to ask them, you know, and they let me go because it's in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. So I went there. He knew about the band because all the people there explained it to him, and he knew he liked it. He liked the idea of doing something with us. So I went there and I saw him, and he was a nice guy. Like, you know, you can see in his eyes, like, he wanted to be free and go out, but he's there. Yeah. He can't go. The embassy is not huge. It's like smaller than this room, I think, or like this big, you know, like he's like there.
Really? So, I mean, he's basically in a prison cell.
Yeah, it's not huge. Like, I thought it was huge. And
you think an embassy in London, it's going to be? Wow.
No, and he's, but he has people over there, like the people, you know, he can talk with people and people can visit him, and at least he has that. But, yeah, he was very open, and we start working together, and the idea was to do something with the people using the internet, talking about media and all the movements that are happening right now. So we start making questions and using the answers of the people in the internet to write the song. So,
Well, let's hear a little bit of the song that developed out of this meeting between my guest, René Pérez-Joglar, residente from the band Calle 13, and WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange.
Que se la hora, que se la espuma, cuando cada vez más gente se suma.
We live in the world that your propaganda made. But where you think you are strong, you are weak. Your lies tell us the truth we will use against you. Your secrecy shows us where we will strike. Your weapons reveal your fear for all to see. From Cairo to Quito, a new world is forming. The power of people armed with the truth.
Multiviral is a multicultural song from the Puerto Rican band Calle 13. They are essentially a duo, Residente and Visitante. Residente is René Pérez Joglar, who's with me here in the Soundcheck studio. So we heard the voice of Julian Assange, recorded in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. The guitar is Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine. And we heard a little bit from this singer, Camelia Gibran, who is Arab-Israeli, is that right?
Yeah, she's Palestinian-Israeli. Yeah. Like, she lives in Israel, I think, or in France. But I was looking for someone to be on the chorus with me. And I saw her using YouTube. Mm-hmm. So I called some friends that I have in Europe, like, oh, I want to find her. And we found her. And, yeah, we did it.
Well, you were talking about, you know, el viaje, a trip or a journey, and it seems like the making of this record was a global kind of journey for you guys.
Yeah, the whole thing, yeah.
Multiviral is the name of it. It is out now from the band, the multiple Latin Grammy-winning band, Calle 13. René, it's been great having you with us on Soundcheck today. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
Soy una fábrica de humo, mano de obra campesina para tu consumo. Frente de frío en el medio del verano, el amor en los tiempos del cólera, mi hermano. El sol que nace y el día que muere, con los mejores atardeceres. Soy el desarrollo en carne viva, un discurso político sin saliva. Las caras más bonitas que he conocido, soy la fotografía de un desaparecido, la sangre de...
I'm Joel Meyer, and that does it for today's show. Tomorrow, I'll be your guest host, and we'll be looking at song sequels. Find out what happened to characters in your favorite songs after those songs were over. Entertainment Weekly radio host Mario Correa and comedian Mo Rocca will join us with their fictional sequels to songs by Cher, Harry Chapin, and others. Plus, Indie Rock's favorite baseball fans have a new album full of songs and stories about our national pastime, and the great, or just plain weird people who have played it. The Baseball Project plays live in our studio. And the story of the Nigerian funk musician William Onyebor and his mysterious catalog. That's tomorrow on Soundcheck. For John Schaefer, I'm Joel Meyer.